The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If you could have one of them, which one would you take?
Okay, Jim Craig's. All right, you put me in a tough spot here.
Because he was the highlight of that team.
He was.
Or
sports wholesalers. Yeah. Thanks for calling back. No. I still got the shoes. Lots of them. Yeah, this is beautiful athletic here.
I don't think Brett Favre's Super Bowl ring now has the same luster.
Oh, it still does. With Packers fans, it absolutely does.
And I think some people are going, really?
Mr. Wilhelm.
So, George, have you heard anything about the missing equipment?
No, not a thing.
I can separate him being a thief with this allegedly being a thief in the state of Mississippi.
You know, George, there's nothing I hate more than a liar.
Well, there's no room for someone like that in this organization.
You're getting sued.
I said alleged.
You and Shannon Sharp.
I said alleged.
Class action.
Allegedly.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he wanted.
How did that poll end up?
Which of these would you rather have or win? A gold medal versus a Super Bowl ring? Super Bowl ring with 50.7% of the votes, narrowly edging a gold medal at 49.3%.
That might be one of our closest polls ever. I voted for a gold medal. I don't know why. I just stick and chew pretty much.
I voted for it too. Because I already have a Super Bowl. What the hell do I need breaths for?
Exactly. You'd like to have two. PSA for all of you out there, it is April Fool's Day. Do not be fooled by these ridiculous jokes and pranks that people like to pull on April Fool's Day. My standard operating procedure is the only people who should be able to participate in April Fool's Day are children, right? If your kid wants to play a little prank on you or get, pull the wool over your eyes, you go along with it, even if you know it's coming, because that's what we do.
12 and under?
That seems fair. Yeah, once you hit teenager, it's too much. I did see a post that somebody put about some kids in Hartford, Connecticut, who changed the H to an F on the sign, on the city sign. So it said, "Welcome to Fartford." Kind of cute.
I get you to chuckle.
Kind of like that. So Chewy teased my story that I told the guys this morning in our production meeting. So I'm in Florida for our family trip to Disney. You guys know it's exhausting. It's a lot of walking. In one day, I think we put up 20,000 steps. And then we were comparing who had more steps. And then I was trying to get more steps than Chase. So I was like, oh, no, I'll go get the food. I'll go get up to the counter and whatnot. But one day I left and had a work event in Atlanta. So my family ate without me. So as I'm coming back from Atlanta to Orlando, I ordered DoorDash and had it delivered to our hotel. It is a Disney property. It is on Disney property. And the gentleman who was delivering my DoorDash did text me saying, they said that I can't leave the food at the front desk. I'm leaving it at the valet counter. So where you obviously bring your car, get your car, get your keys, whatnot. So I get to the valet counter and I say, hey, I'm Jen. I'm picking up my DoorDash. And the guy looked at me and was like, hold on, let me get my manager. I said, okay, maybe manager's got the food, whatever. So the manager comes out and he says, yeah, it's hotel property policy that we do not hold DoorDash orders. I said, okay, well, Where is it? Where's my DoorDash? He says, it has been discarded. I said, discarded? What do you mean discarded? He said, we threw it away. I said, you threw away my DoorDash? He said, yeah, it's a liability. We cannot hold on to hot food. If you were to get food poisoning or if you were to get sick, we would be held responsible for it because we held on to the food for you. And I said, well, good news. It's sushi, ice cold, give it to me, hand it over.
Was sushi.
Yeah.
He said, I'm sorry, we no longer have it. So then Chewy, your thought was what?
Someone ate it.
I mean, it was discarded into somebody else's stomach.
Yeah.
It was discarded into my belly. I was blown away by this. This is not a posted, it's nowhere posted. It's not like it says, one, when you order from DoorDash, Just so you know, FYI, this hotel cannot accept DoorDash orders. You must receive your order from the DoorDasher, right? Because that's the loophole here. You can get DoorDash. You just have to receive it from the delivery guy. He's not allowed to leave it at the front desk. And my issue with that, Chew, was I travel every week in the fall. Every week. Almost every weekend, or at some point, I am ordering DoorDash and leaving it at the front desk and then going down and grabbing it to have my dinner. This has never been something that I have experienced before. I couldn't believe that, one, it was not posted, and two, that no one during the process told me that this was going to be the outcome if I was not there to receive it when the guy arrived.
Shouldn't the DoorDash driver know, though?
I'm sure he did.
And he never texted you that? Because obviously the hotel you were staying at has room service, has restaurants, so they want you buying their stuff. I get their point. But yes, you should have been told by someone that, hey, we don't hold orders. And then you probably would have went down and met the guy, right?
Correct. 1,000,000%. Had I known that that was policy, I would have been there when he got there to receive it. But since it's never been an issue before anywhere else, I just assume, okay. And again, his messaging was very vague. He said, the guy said I can't leave it at the front desk. I'm leaving it at the valet stand. It wasn't, I'm not allowed to leave it at the valet stand, but I'm going to drop it there and run, which apparently is what he did in addition to cursing out the valet manager, which is why he was more than happy to share with me, Gabe, that they had thrown it away.
Wait, the DoorDash guy
cursed at the valet manager.
Oh,
yes.
You had no chance in this. Yeah. You had 0% chance of success. I guarantee where it's posted is when you check into a hotel and you have to hit I agree, and it's that long list of it's somewhere in there.
Like the iTunes contract.
Yes, somewhere where you're agreeing to all the different rules of staying there, but nobody actually reads, somewhere in the very fine print, that's where that policy is posted.
So is everybody in agreement then that they just ate my sushi? $50 worth of sushi, they just housed it in the back?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because also think about it. When you receive usually a DoorDash, whatever you use, it comes wrapped up. So am I to assume they take just that package as is and put it in the trash can and leave it that way? Or do they go in back and go, well, boys, we're having a little dinner.
Who's hungry?
They're
who's
like, on break? A sucker's born every minute. Because that's what I felt like. I felt like a sucker. Right? I had ordered my dinner, didn't think anything of it, went down to pick it up after the DoorDasher had said that he had left it at the valet stand, and then they informed me that they had discarded it. I also think that the manager was punishing me for the behavior of the DoorDasher, right? He was like, oh, curse at me, you know, and then was more than happy to share with me. Now, I did speak to a manager above him and did express what I'm expressing to you guys, which is, this is insane. This is absurd. First of all, no one told me that this was the policy. How in the world would I know this? Do y'all just like hope that people don't know it so that you guys can get free dinner? So to be fair and to make sure that I, finish the story accurately, they did credit me the $50. So the hotel credited us $50 to our folio to cover the sushi that was quote unquote discarded.
Well, I mean, discarded covers a lot of things, Jen. Mm-hmm. So I think discarded seems to be an accurate word. Now, when he followed up and said, we threw it away, that's more specific, and I doubt that assessment of what happened. But what did you end up going with for dinner that night? What'd you take the $50 and use it towards?
Well, that's a good question. I don't remember. Because then I was mad. And then I was like, I don't even remember what I got. Yeah, Dario did not catch it. He did not. I was good about not projecting, just so you know. But can we use the word discarded from now on when we eat something? Like when you're at the ballpark tomorrow and you house a couple brats.
I'm going to discard a hot dog tomorrow for sure.
I'm going to discard some peanuts and Cracker Jacks, that's for sure, out at the ballpark.
Maybe Joshy, discard a beer.
What do you think about what happened with the DoorDash? The valet ate my DoorDash?
Yeah, 1,000%. Because they all think it's absurd, and I mean that's the little power that manager has is to do the discard thing. So they're all just, I mean, they had some nice sushi. I also do have a personal policy that would have avoided this, where whenever I have DoorDash, no matter where I am, I'm meeting those people outside because they rely on tips and speedy delivery and all that stuff. Now I know that's not necessarily the most fair because you literally have to watch the map and. There's been times I've missed it, but I'm always outside. So if that would have happened, they would have just been okay with it. if you'd just been standing there.
Apparently that is the loophole, is if you, that's why, because again, my thought was, why don't you just have it on the map that says this establishment does not allow DoorDash deliveries?
Yeah.
I said to you guys, it's like when I use an Uber and I'm trying to beat the system. As soon as my plane lands, I'm trying to hit the Uber button to order it. And it's like, no. You have to be standing in the baggage area in order to order this Uber. They know based on your location. So my question to them was, if you don't accept DoorDash orders, why didn't you just say that? And they said, well, we do accept DoorDash orders. The stipulation is you have to receive it from the delivery person.
Yeah, because DoorDash doesn't want to just shut off an entire hotel, especially in a place with as many hotels as Orlando.
Correct, which is probably why the gentleman wasn't clear with me, the DoorDasher, about where he could leave it and where he couldn't leave it. Because if at any point during the process I had been made aware that that was the case, one, if I wasn't able to meet him, maybe I'm still in transit, I'm still en route, then I would have had to cancel the order, then he doesn't get the tip for the delivery or the effort that's put into it, right? So there's a incentive to being a little shady about the whole thing. On both sides, it would appear.
Also, it doesn't seem to hold up logically that it would be on the hotel.
What is this, chain of custody?
Right. Like, what do you mean? No, the food came from somewhere. First of all, it's on the restaurant, and then it's on you for waiting.
Well,
that seems pretty simple.
So the next layer of the conversation, and obviously this conversation was lengthy because I wanted to, get my pound of flesh, was, do you accept grocery deliveries? They said, yes, we accept grocery deliveries. I said, that's what I said. Yeah. What's the difference? I said, what if I order milk? They go, what if you order milk? I said, what if it spoils by the time I come and get it? They said, well, how long are you going to wait? I said, I don't know. How long can I wait? Right? Like, this is where I said, like, feels like you guys got a little bit of a...
Right, because if it's a chicken breast, what then? Those can just sit out and wait at the front desk as long as possible?
Yeah. Well, they said they put it in the back.
Yeah.
But I said, do you refrigerate? They said, no. I said, okay, you're losing me here. You're losing me.
Well, again, because we all know why the policy exists in the first place. They're discouraging you from ordering DoorDash because they want you to spend the $50 with them versus the $50 with whatever random sushi place you used.
But if you don't spend the $50 with them, free dinner for the valet guys, right? Like, hey, are you ordering dinner tonight? Nah, some sucker's going to order DoorDash and not pick it up. We'll just have that.
Yeah, I mean, that has to happen literally daily.
That's what I said. Every evening.
It has to be constant.
Especially if people are like me, where you go to other hotels where that is just standard operating procedure. Most places I go to, guys, have a counter, a separate counter with a sign that says, pick up DoorDash orders here. And all you have to do is show your ID as you're walking back up to your room to show that your name matches the name on the receipt and you're golden. Like, this is not unusual.
They make out like bandits, I bet. Like sunglasses. How often have you left sunglasses behind? Can I check lost and found? What were they? Gucci? Nope, never saw them. Oh, they were Amazon? Yeah, they're right here. You can have these things. Or earbuds or something like that?
Oh, that's a little more tricky, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, they look at my earbuds and go, nah, you can have these. Might want
just
to clean the wax
flip
out
yeah,
of them.
Flip open the cap. Go. Nope. These are leaving these right here. Not going anywhere.
So much DNA on those suckers.
Yeah, I know.
How often do you clean your ears? I guess since you brought it up.
How often do I clean my ears?
Yeah.
When they're dirty.
That's the way to do it.
So every day.
I mean,
then?
Let me tell you what. There's nothing more disappointing than putting a Q-tip in your ear and having it come out white.
Why?
That thing comes out greasy. It's like, oh, what? I can hear
Q-tips
again.
Are like $6 for the box. So what does that break down to when there's
per
a Q-tip? Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. What is it, like a nickel?
Maybe. Maybe a nickel. Best place to shop diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee, of course, it is only at the Jewelry Center. Their team of specialists will help you bring her dream ring to life. And they did for me. I kind of had an idea of what I wanted my wife's engagement ring to look like. Went in, Jewelry Center showed me options, but maybe you're somebody that doesn't have an idea. Check out her Pinterest board if she's got some ideas posted there. You bring that into the Jewelry Center, and the Jewelry Center's team of specialists going to be able to point you in the right direction. Learn more about the diamond jewelry selection at shoptjc.com or stop in at any of their three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. If you head to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Chewy and Gabe sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months?
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Gabe mentioned it earlier in the show, but if you have not yet listened to Thanalysis, the episode with Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love, what are you waiting for? Good stuff from Thanasis, who apparently has not seen a ton of American football, but obviously has that like insatiable curiosity, and that's what he hit Jordan with. Really interesting conversation, very heartfelt conversation between those two guys. Check it out on Bucks Plus, wherever you get your podcasts. So speaking of Jordan Love, guys, there was a conversation on Get Up, and there's a lot of love, no pun intended, for the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Mike Tannenbaum, obviously former NFL GM Mike Tannenbaum, who, you know, had quite the history of running a franchise to varying degrees of success, of course, but he had this to say about who he would start a franchise with.
And if we were building a team in the NFL and you were drafting players today, we would all start with Patrick Mahomes. But after that, Jordan Love's in the conversation of who do you want to build around for the next 10 years. He's that good, that talented. And when you look at the depth of the skill players that the Packers have,
Young
from Dobbs to Watson to Jaden Reed, two tight ends, they just got Josh Jacobs. They're going to draft a left tackle this year. Greedy, he is positioned to be one of the two or three best quarterbacks in our sport for a long time.
Wow.
Overreaction, Chew?
Yeah, after half of a season. You got to have more of a sample size. You can't give him that tag yet. Now, he's trending as if he could be, but there's also a lot of other quarterbacks that I think are a little farther along than Jordan. Yeah, I would just pump the brakes a little bit. We all think he's going to be pretty damn good, but I need a few more games. Need another half season.
Yeah, and I think you're right there, too, especially when you start taking a look at some of the other quarterbacks. Like, I mean, Jalen Hurts, 2 seasons ago, finished second in the MVP voting. And had a fine season last year, took a step back, and now everyone's curious what he's going to do in year 3. And that could happen with Jordan, where he just doesn't play like he did in the second half of last season, but is still really, really good, and is still considered one of those guys. It's, you know, again, it's you need that bigger sample size. The reason why Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes is because he's done it year after year after year, and that's the tough part. A lot of players in the NFL have done it for a season or a half season, but can you do it consistently? And that's the next challenge for Jordan.
Is there anything the Packers could do, guys, to help Jordan evolve even faster? Like, I don't know if Jordan Love has the success he has had, again, small sample size notwithstanding, if he goes somewhere else. I think there's something about the marriage between him and Matt LaFleur and LaFleur being a part of that group that we always talk about with the Shanahans and the McVays and the McDaniel, Daniel.
Yeah.
I was McDonald and McDaniel and the Mix and the McConnells and there's a lot of micking happening in the NFL right now. But is there anything that they could do to even help that evolution where this season he go out there and be even better than he was last year? Or is it just on him?
Maybe a little more security in the offensive line, but I think their skills are where they need to be. They're fine.
Yeah,
he's just got to, like I said, it's not even take the next step. He's not even there yet. It's just like, okay, keep doing what you were doing last year. The quarterbacks that need to take the next step, Josh Allen, Herbert, Joe Burrow, they need to take the next step. I think we know that they're pretty damn good, those quarterbacks I just named off.
Yeah.
They just have to take the next step. Jordan's still like, okay, we think he's good. We think he's pretty darn good. Just give me another 8-9 games like he ended last year, and then we'll say, okay, maybe a year or two from now, now it's time for him to make the next step.
Yeah, in terms
which
of
what he's poised to do, Gabe.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much. I'm with Chew. Like, yeah, I guess you could draft a franchise left tackle, but, I mean, Rashid Walker held up pretty good last year, and Jordan was able to play good football with him at left tackle last year. Yes, you would like some depth there just in case somebody goes down and somebody's injured, but I don't know if there's really anything the Packers can do other than just continue to work with him. And I know Matt LaFleur at the owners' meetings last week said that he's in pretty regular contact with Jordan Love, just continuing to foster that relationship to put him in the best positions to succeed. But man, I can't imagine him being in a better spot to succeed.
It's like Brock Purdy, right? I think I kind of know what his ceiling is. Do we kind of know what his ceiling is? Jordan's, I don't know. I mean, he could be a Hall of Famer for all I know. I'm talking Jordan, not Purdy.
Yeah, not Purdy.
It certainly seems like Jordan's is higher from physical ability standpoint alone.
Yes.
Agree.
So do you need to see improvement from him still? Is it just about consistency? Are there little things that you're seeing? I know I sent you guys that article last week from The Athletic that was talking about the motion in the league and how, you know, we always talk about it's copycat league and how McDaniel put a wrinkle in early in the season and then by midseason everybody else was trying to copy that wrinkle. Are there things like that that you think the league will have this year that just as they continue to look at what's the league now, Gabe, that started?
UFL.
And the CFL and where they're finding all of these other ideas. You think there'll be any of an evolution like that, Chu?
I think his net. Yeah, there could. I still have questions on his deep ball. Do you guys agree with that?
I'd like the more consistency there,
I'm
certainly.
Still not sold on that. His thing is, can he be consistent? Can he be consistent? Everyone's going to have a crapper of a game. Right?
Yep.
But does he get rid of that quickly and then continue to get better? But I'll tell you another thing. There's going to be pressures on him now that he hasn't had before. Like, you're going to get paid. And you're going to get paid pretty darn well. And let's just say in the $50 million a year. With that comes expectations. And there's pressure. He'll feel different kinds of pressure. There's a lot more pressure on him going into this season because everyone thinks he's in the Packers are a top 10 team in the NFL, one of the top teams. There's pressure with that. So we have to still see how this guy handles pressure. He's handled it pretty well so far, but can he continue to do that throughout his career?
It's one of my favorite McCarthyisms, Chu, going back to the old coach of Mike McCarthy, of stacking successes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically saying, okay, how do you handle success? All right, you have this one level of success. Are you able to then continue to build on top of that? And that's the stage that Jordan Love is in. All right, you had a taste of success in the second half of last season, into the postseason. Okay, now can you build on top of that? And then build on top of that the way that the quarterbacks previous to you here in Green Bay have. That's the stage that he's at. Can he stack successes?
We want him to be a guy who, like Aaron Rodgers, takes care of the football, but unlike Aaron Rodgers, isn't doing it where it's detrimental to the team, holding onto the ball too often, as Rodgers sometimes did, or not taking shots downfield because he was concerned about it turning into an interception. I did see criticism in the offseason about Jordan Love's footwork occasionally, throwing off of his back foot. So I do think that this offseason he is focusing on some of those mechanics to try to make it a little bit more muscle memory to not do those things. It's like anything else. You can train your body to do what you're supposed to do, but when the pressure's on, when the clock is ticking, sometimes you revert back to old habits just because they're the most comfortable for your body. So it's now conditioning his body to fall into the new way or the correct way when he's not thinking about it, Gabe.
Yeah, but you don't need good fundamentals all the time, right?
Yeah, Brad,
like that's yeah. I was about to say, Brad
was terrible.
Aaron at times, you know, Patrick Mahomes. Like, what makes you special is not just being the picture perfect fundamental guy. It's being able to do that, and that helps you consistently deliver that 3-yard slant or the little swing pass into the flat to hit the guy in stride. But the special throws, the thing that, I mean, again, Jordan, to me last year, some of those back foot throws and then dropping him on a dime the way he did, that's what gave me hope that, oh, wow, this guy can be something else. This guy can be something more than just, oh, okay, I can manage the game, be this fundamental guy. Yes, you want those, but being able to separate that and make those plays off platform, off schedule is what makes you a really special quarterback.
Yeah, and obviously there are going to be times when you've got pressure in your face where you're just going to have to get the throw off, and it's not going to be picture perfect.
100%.
But obviously when you have the opportunity to do it the correct way, making sure that you are doing it, that as opposed to falling back into old and bad habits.
I think what raises his floor a ton is being more consistent on the easier stuff, the stuff that we saw a lot where it was he had an open guy and he kind of drifted in the pocket off the back. And you're like, just stand there and deliver it, man. Yeah. Like, I think that's what will be the biggest difference, because he's not going to stop the gunslinger-ish type stuff.
Sidearm.
Right. That stuff's going to stay with him, and he's going to...
Again,
you want that.
There's a little window right there.
From all those angles.
Well, we want it if it works.
Right. Correct.
If it doesn't work, then we don't want it.
Yeah, no, then screw that.
Yeah.
Right?
It's been working so far, so let's stick with it.
All but he's also, right, and your quarterback also has to manage the egos of the players around him. You know, we don't know how this season is going to start with these receivers. I mean, you got to keep a lot of guys happy, and a lot of time that falls on the quarterback because, let me tell you what, in that locker room, guys bitch. I can't believe I didn't get any balls this week. This is ridiculous. I'm better than that guy. Why am I not getting balls? And you got to kind of manage. Holmgren did a wonderful job when I played of managing that, but that's a real thing. Because ultimately, when you're young, you want to get paid.
How much
you love the game, you love winning, but you want to get paid.
How much of that was Holmgren versus Favre? Like, how much did Brett help that chew, and how much did Holmgren help that in terms of managing the egos?
Holmgren managed it probably the best because he wouldn't let it get to that point.
Okay.
With players. You know, I've seen him go up to Robert, and Robert, you know, two catches in 2 weeks and be like, hey, don't worry, I'm going to get you the ball. Just be patient. You know, that there's only one football, and that's the problem with having so many good players on the team, is that there's only one football, and there's only so much to go around.
So to go back to what Tannenbaum said at the beginning of the segment, which is that he would have, again, behind Patrick Mahomes, he would have Jordan Love as the guy he would start a franchise with. Is there anybody else that he's missing? Is there anybody else who you think is a competitor or a contender for that title?
Five or six guys, yes.
Who?
The guy who just won the MVP. So you have Lamar.
Yeah.
You have Josh Allen. You have Joe Burrow.
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert's on that list.
Okay, let's go through
CJ Stroud
is
on the list.
Well, let's go through at least some of them. I mean, Joe Burrow has had injuries he's dealt with, and we're hoping that he can kind of regain the form that he had early in his career. But right now, the jury's still out on that. You mentioned Lamar. I think you're right. But he's not as young as Jordan Love.
Sure.
So that's going to be the other thing, is like you're getting Jordan Love at this very young age, and he's already shown a lot of potential.
Yeah, but he's not that much older, and he's won two MVPs. Like, he's had a lot of success in the league already.
Who else was on your list?
Josh Allen.
Can you put Jalen Hurts?
You can put Jalen Hurts on that list.
I like Jalen Hurts.
Is he younger than Jordan Love?
Who?
Jalen Hurts. He's very, very young.
Yeah, I think Hurts might be, yeah.
Yeah.
You Googling
Kyler
his age?
Murray?
I am, yes.
Kyler Murray?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think he's
I'm not putting Kyler on that list, no.
Who else is there? Well, you said Stroud, right?
Yeah, CJ Stroud. So Jordan is younger than Jalen Hurts by like 3 months.
Was Tannenbaum defaulting to... Wait, what was that? Jordan is younger than Hurts by 3 months.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Was Tannenbaum defaulting to the fact that they have put all of these weapons around the quarterback? It doesn't seem like Tannenbaum was just going quarterback exclusive, basically stacking up, to your point, Gabe, the Hurtses and the Youngs and with Jordan Love. He was saying that he's in a position to succeed because of some of the people. And to me, that is not the exercise.
Correct.
The exercise was more of one guy to start a franchise with. Mm-hmm. Who you taking?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Jordan's probably closer to top five than two. He's probably just around that five mark.
It seems like Tannenbaum bought his weapons, too. He got Jordan Love in the deal, and he got to bring along his weapons.
Which, I mean, good for him. It's a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
If you're starting a franchise, you get Jordan Love and the young weapons? Everybody else is just taking quarterbacks? Yeah. He's playing chess, not
one of those fill-the-bag garage sales. One of the Harbaugh garage sales. Everything you can put in the bag for $5.
It's kind of like your sushi, Jen. Oh, there's pork fried rice in here, too. Holy
jackpot.
Gone.
800-990-3776. Is Jordan the guy you would start a franchise with, or is it fair to say there are other young, talented quarterbacks out there that would get the nod over him for most people? 800-990-3776. Potawatomi Casino Hotel has something bigger and better and bolder coming the first week of May. It's a long-awaited grand opening of their state-of-the-art sportsbook venue. It is a 2,000-square-foot video wall. It is luxury seating for more than 200 people. It's an expanded food menu, and you're going to love this. There will be a broadcast booth as well, so that shows like Jen, Gabe, and Chewy can do their shows live from the sports book. Look, you've seen videos or you've been to Vegas, you've seen the sports books that they have out there. This is going to rival that. Yeah, it's going to be that big. It's going to be that great. The all-new Pottawatomie Sportsbook venue is going to be a sports fan paradise. Mark your calendars for the first week of May. May 3rd, actually, to be specific, when sports betting in Milwaukee becomes like nothing you have seen before. Bet big and bet bold at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's new sportsbook.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj?
You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Big basketball game taking place this evening. Iowa-LSU rematch in the women's NCAA tournament. It is the Elite Eight showdown that a lot of people have been waiting for. Caitlin Clark is, by all accounts, the darling of women's basketball, and people have been flocking to see her now for several seasons. We heard about the $5 million offer that the Big Three is giving her to go play with them. Everybody knows Caitlin Clark's name. And on the other side, you've got LSU, the defending champs in the women's game. This is must-see TV. And it got me thinking, guys. Chewy, you have talked about this before. Do you always need to have somebody you're rooting for when you're watching a game? Or can you just go and watch two of the top teams in the women's category go at it tonight for a chance to advance to the Final Four?
I always have to pick a winner, and it's usually the underdog. That's how I
roll. Who would that
be in this
case? I
can't just watch
a
game.
Who would that be in this case?
Who's favored?
Technically, Iowa is favored on ESPN bet by 1.5.
Well, I have a connection to Iowa. My Dylan coached there, and one of my sons went to school there. So,
disregard everything you just said.
Okay. So, you'll be rooting for Iowa then, is what you're saying? Not the underdog, and also there's a vested interest.
He started thinking Iowa was going to be the underdog, and he thought he was going to be able to, they're the underdog, and then tie all those other things into it. He was
of my sons took a visit to Notre Dame and didn't like Kelly, and Kelly's now at LSU, so I'll be rooting for
also
Iowa.
Also tracks, and he has nothing to do with the women's program, but probably as likable as the head coach for the LSU program.
Yes.
Gabe, do you have to have, if you're going to watch tonight's game, which I know a lot of people are going to, do you have to have somebody you're pulling for from the jump, or can it develop as the game goes on?
Oh, it certainly can develop as the game goes on. You know, a call goes against someone, see how they handle it. I'm not like you. I don't need to pick a winner. I can sit back. Like most of the men's games that happened over the weekend, I can just sit back and watch. Like I was rooting for a winner in Illinois-UConn. I was just, okay, let's watch this game, see who comes out on top. I find myself rooting for Iowa and Caitlin Clark as well, just because I've come to hate the narrative of, oh, no, she needs to win a national championship to have anything that she has ever done matter. Like, I've hated how that narrative has just kind of grown around her. Like, she made women's basketball something. She is, you mentioned how she's been the darling of women's basketball. Caitlin Clark, this year, is the face of college basketball, period.
Is she the face of college sports?
I don't know. Burns is making a run for that title, don't you think, DJ Burns?
Sure, he can go do the the TurboTax ad, but she's been like, what other college athlete in basketball has had the national ads that she has had? I mean, she's been featured in that State Farm commercial all season long. She's got a Gatorade commercial that's out. Like, she is the face of college basketball. I mean, I haven't heard people, paying, shelling out $500-$600 just to go watch Zach Edey play some of his final college games in places that he's playing.
Okay,
right?
But we had the conversation this morning earlier in the show about Reese Hoskins and how we loved the effing wham, right? How is that any different than what Angel Reese did last year after Caitlin Clark did the "You Can't See Me" and then Angel Reese responded with the pointing at the finger where she was going to get the ring? Like, all of those antics make people more excited, but they do also create that hero and villain storyline, which it feels like so many people need or at least create when they're talking about sports games.
Yeah, I mean, the difference for me is Jeff McNeil was just being a baby.
He was like, trying to fight him, standing over him.
Yeah. McNeil was being a baby, got the F and wah. Like, these were just two people talking trash. Like, after the game, Caitlin Clark was like, yeah, we're just talking trash. Who cares? But Angel Reese came out after LSU won, like, yeah, we don't hate each other. We're
yesterday.
Just two, yes. We're just two competitors that want to win. Like, and that's what I love about their version of trash talking, because they're getting lost in the moment, and at the end of the game is the end of the game. But for those 40 minutes, they're going to battle. And that's what I really enjoy, and that's what I'm looking forward to for LSU.
You going to pick a winner for us?
I'm saying Iowa wins.
Really?
I think Caitlin Clark has enough to pull it off. Yeah.
Well, and she has, you know, it's not just the Caitlin Clark show. She has teammates who have been playing really well as well. The problem is Caitlin's shadow is so large that most people are focusing exclusively on her. The other thing that a lot of people have been talking about with regards to this matchup is the Kim Mulkey stuff, right? Mulkey goes out there. She's talking about these columns. She's talking about these articles that are coming out about her team. She has been criticized for being a certain type of coach and the way she carries herself or the relationship that she has with her players. She has really, guys, taken on the black hat. She has really become a villain in the women's basketball space.
It's going to have sequins on it, but yes, she is going to be wearing the black hat on the
and
sideline.
Feathers, maybe she's going to have some neon accents as well, but yes, the black hat, the proverbial black hat, which again, I think sports likes that.
Oh, yeah.
I think we like having people to root against, and I think there will be a lot of people tonight, that wasn't your reason, but for that reason, who will be rooting against LSU, which is a shame because Angel Reese, and is it Flauge Johnson?
Yeah.
The young lady who is also a rapper, a musician. they're incredibly talented.
I mean, they put together like a dream team because they took Haley Van Lith as well from Louisville and added her to the team. And she's not even like a scorer when she was like Louisville's best player. I almost find myself rooting for Louisville, for LSU because they are the bad guys, as much as I find Kim Mulkey off-putting. Just her general demeanor and behavior is not something I like watching, but I like that they're the kind of the bad boys. Those
and
teams
they've embraced
are fun.
That.
And they're defending champs, right? Like, that's what's crazy about this whole thing is, like, it would be incredible to see that team, again, do what we had been talking about with UConn on the men's side, go back-to-back.
Yeah, and yet the most dominant team in women's college basketball somehow gets ignored in South Carolina because of all the oxygen that these two teams are taking up.
That game tonight is when game?
6 o'clock tonight, ESPN. Stinks that it's an Elite Eight game. But, you know,
you'd
again,
like to see it as the championship again?
Or at least in the Final Four, right? Like, the fact that, and everybody kind of saw this when the women's bracket came out, this was the matchup everybody was hoping for, but because it was the national championship game a year ago, it just, getting to the Final Four is great. The stakes just aren't quite as high as they were a year ago.
I think it was smart by them to put them in the same bracket and almost guarantee the matchup. Because you don't want to end up, I mean, Iowa almost didn't make it past some of the early games. So guaranteeing that matchup, I think, is just big for the general awareness of women's basketball.
I thought it was the finals.
Yeah, no, it's an Elite Eight, bud.
I seriously thought it was the finals.
Yeah.
You just popped my balloon. You took my DoorDash and ate it.
Are you going to watch? Chew, are you going to tune in tonight?
Not now that it's 8.
Do you think we could convince...
I might watch a little bit of it.
Do you think we could have convinced Chewy it was the championship game if we just never told him?
Yes.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah. Even though all over the court it would have said Elite Eight. on the score bug in the bottom of ESPN, Elite
and
Eight.
And the announcers
winner goes
would
to
have said at some point as the confetti was falling for a trip to the Final Four.
Now, let's remember. Let's remember, I tried to rename it the Final Eight, which to me sounds a lot better than Elite Eight.
No.
Not a fan of alliteration, are you, buddy?
Not so much.
All right, so that game is tonight. I think a lot of people will be tuning in. And again, it is a reminder of just how far the women's game has come, how many people are tuning in, so many more people interested in what is going on there because, newsflash, everybody, these are elite athletes. These are elite teams. It's a hell of a competition, and it's going to be good entertainment. You guys remember me talking about being at the State Fair and seeing a sauna. We've all had those moments walking through an expo center and thought, ooh, I wonder what it would cost to own that. Well, let me tell you, having an infrared sauna from Good Health Saunas is fantastic. It has improved so many elements of my life. My sleep is better. Man, I really missed it when I was on vacation. After my workouts, my recovery is a lot easier. I need to hop in that infrared sauna today and just detox from the vacation. All of the walking that we did, not the healthiest food, because you know, you're on vacation. You're taking some liberties there. And thanks to my Good Health sauna, I know that I will feel better after my 30 to 45 minutes in there. And if this is something that sounds interesting to you, well, you can go to their website. It's goodhealthsaunas.com. There you can find information on all of the infrared saunas that they have to offer and see if there's an infrared sauna that would match your lifestyle. That website, again, is goodhealthsaunas.com. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid, and we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where mentality comes in. Local healthcare facilities specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. You could be dealing with low testosterone, not even realize it. That's what happened to me. I thought I was getting more tired throughout the course of the day because I was waking up earlier. We've got the morning show, so many other things going on. No, it turns out my testosterone levels were low. I found out because I went to Mentality. Went through their process at the end, got a blood panel done. Within a week, my results were back to me, and my levels were low. So now I'm in a customized testosterone treatment plan just for me. And that's my favorite part about this. This isn't just a one-size-fits-all. They give you a customized treatment to make sure that your testosterone levels are where they should be so you can get back to feeling like yourself. Go to LowTUSA.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality at LowTUSA.com.
Here we go. So
wrapping up the show today with our other two brackets. Is our Sweet 16 as well?
Our Sweet 16.
Sweet 16 just took place.
Right now.
It's our Sweet 16 here in the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievances bracket. What do we got?
So earlier we did dining. It was waiting for a seat, taking on tip included, no mention, and then person waiting for a food when everybody else has theirs, taking on loud talking. Vote for those at Jen, Gabe, Chewy. We unveiled the matchups in the bathroom region. In the bathroom region, we have pee on the seats, which is the one seed, taking on forgot to flush. Forgot to flush advances as a six seed, so we get that matchup in the Sweet 16.
That's going to be a tight one, because I think peeing on the seat means more to women than it does men. But flushing?
Well, unless you're sitting to do your business, men, which you are occasionally.
Yeah, but we've got, you know, places where you typically stand. Like, you're not typically going into the actual stall to pee.
Right, but I'm saying, so the pee on the seat affects you if you're pooping, right?
Correct.
So that's, well, that's gender, what do we call it? Inclusive.
What is the protocol in our unisex bathrooms? Seat up or seat down?
I was about to say, don't pee on the seat no matter where you are. That's a protocol everywhere.
No, but do women want the seat down or up?
I can put the seat down if you leave the seat up. It's not a big deal. Similarly, what I told my daughter every time we went into a bathroom at Disney World that someone had forgotten to flush, and she'd be like, oh, no, poopy! So flush it. We're not going to go to a different stall. There's a line. You know what I mean? Can you imagine?
Get back out. And
this one is not up to par for the young six-year-old princess.
And then speaking
like stripes.
Speaking of long lines, that is the two seed in the bathroom region. It moved on. Long lines at a venue taking on out of toilet paper.
Once again,
doesn't affect you.
Well, because Chewy's not pooping. He's not playing road games. He's only pooping in comfortable venues,
like at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chewy's not doing number two in the public restroom.
Are you trying to tell me you've never been in a situation where you had to use a public restroom to do number two?
I mean, it's been... What about someone else's house?
Well, I guess what
like
do you
a public,
think?
A public venue.
I mean, that's
venue.
Not public,
no.
Yeah.
I probably have not gone in a public venue in years.
Wait a minute. Hold the frickin' phone. You would rather take a deuce in your neighbor's house or your friend's house when they're having like a gathering or a get-together or a party or something than go poop in a public bathroom where you know no one and no one will know that you were the culprit.
Totally.
Oh, my gosh. That's totally. Insane. That's insane.
I don't think I'm alone.
You come out of that bathroom at your neighbor's place and you bomb that sucker, everyone knows it was you.
Everyone's taking a dump, even though everyone doesn't think they take a dump. In
Not
this world.
At their friend's house. I would rather go in a public bathroom every day than go at my friend's house.
No way.
But you feel more sanitary when you do it at your friend's
yes,
house.
Yes, totally.
This is crazy
it's all about
to me.
Sanitary.
This is insane to me.
Well, what, we know. You're like...
Because you're pressing your perfect cheeks on a foreign surface.
Well, we know you like to go at the friend's house, just in the front yard.
Not friends. Those were strangers. They weren't even my neighbors. They were my parents' neighbors. We have been over this many times. All right, so go ahead and get your votes in on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket. Wildy and Tasha's next on ESPN Milwaukee.
Opening day tomorrow.